it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing.
Oh.
From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way. And nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate, Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Nate is going to be with us from now until the end of the show. We are off at 4:30 today because of the Kansas City Royals. We actually only have one more week of which the Royals are going to preempt the show. So we are almost through with the baseball season. The Royals are 5 games out of the wild card with 15 to go. We have determined that baseball season is over in Kansas City. They have successfully done what they are supposed to do. They got
that
us the football
true.
Season.
That is true.
We got one more Buck night at the K. We got one more Kiss Cam at the K. That's it. It's over.
That's
it's
it.
Done. It's
wow.
done.
Man.
Nate Taylor, let me ask you this question. Let's say that Juwan Taylor gets 2 penalties in the first quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens? How do the Chiefs respond to that?
If you're Juwan Taylor, you're hoping that Patrick continues to be continues right where he left off in Sao Paulo, and you still score a touchdown. So maybe you still have the lead 14-10, 10-3, whatever.
Another player yelled at him and headbutted him in the middle of the game.
Who also made a catastrophic mistake. I know we get a little too overzealous. I don't want to be like prisoner of the moment. But I believe Matt Nagy, who yesterday, and I'm sure you guys played the audio, when he said, like, it's got to stop. So if you say it's got to stop, and then immediately the next quarter of professional football, you have 2 penalties that push the offense back, I have to assume that he will. And again, I don't want to be a prisoner moment, but I have to believe Matt Nagy. Because I think Matt Nagy was specifically put out there yesterday to say those words so that Andy Reid doesn't have to. I don't love the scenario, but I think they would pull him.
I mean, I think more so than anything, they've had to kind of tolerate the penalties because they didn't really have a viable option.
Correct.
We believe that the 2026 right tackle is on the roster. That's what we believe.
Yes.
Next year, Simmons is at left, Jalen Moore is at right tackle, and you are going to move forward.
Right.
And if you're already going to have a really expensive backup like you have right now, like there's no avoiding that unless you're talking about sitting down Kingsley Suamataia, which that's not the conversation we're having this week.
No.
Somebody who makes a lot of money is not going to be playing. It has to be the player who by far and away has the most penalties in the National Football League for the last couple of years.
Yes.
He is at 41. There's not another player in the league that's in the 30s. Like,
that's
it's not
crazy.
A small amount of penalties more than the opposition.
Right.
It is a significant amount. He has almost resulted in minus 300 yards from scrimmage.
And like, you don't touch the ball.
And you can't have, like, with the offense the way that it is right now, with the lack of weapons that they have, you can't have your offensive lineman taking first downs off the board, taking 20, 25 yards,
right.
or a deep play down the field that you do get. Now it comes back because of a holding call. You cannot live with that.
No, you can't. And he is a really good pass blocker, guys. And that's what's so – that's got to be the thing that, like, kind of drives you crazy if you are a coach, if you are a teammate. If you're Patrick Mahomes, is like he's an above average pass blocker. Still, guys, when he's on time and technically sound and understands what the play is and what his responsibilities are, he can still play at a high level. I always like to remind people of like what has happened before what might come next. They won the Super Bowl with him, and he played excellent in the second half of the 2023 season. And ever since then, it's been a roller coaster. I don't think he was an issue in the postseason last year. Everybody got worked against the Eagles, so, you know, it is what it is. It's untenable. Because they have Jalen Moore, and because you know this, Carrington, I think the first half of training camp, so before you get to, like, the first preseason game, before they played the Cardinals, he and Juwan Taylor and Jalen Moore were splitting reps at right tackle. This has been percolating since the team got to St. Joseph, because once they realized that Josh Simmons was not only cleared to be a full participant for training camp, but that he was going to exceed expectations early on, okay, we obviously want to put a lot of development and a lot of resources to Josh Simmons at left tackle, and the only way he's going to get better and be a potential Pro Bowl, All-Pro player, if he stays healthy, is by giving him as many reps as possible for Sao Paulo. And an argument can be made that Josh Simmons was actually the player getting better throughout the course of the game, not Juwan Taylor. You're a veteran guy who is supposed to be one of your anchors of the offensive line. So this has been in the case. The calculation you have to make is, okay, what helps us win today? So if it's two penalties in the first quarter, get him out. Jalen Moore's in. Now what do we do? Hopefully you say, well, Jalen Moore plays well, doesn't get penalized. Chiefs win the game. Now we're asking Juwan Taylor to be a professional and understand what it's like to be benched for the first time in his career in the event that, like, there is an injury, in an event that there is, like, something that goes on with Josh Simmons or Kingsley Suamataia. That's why Jalen Moore is really overqualified for his job as the technical sixth offensive lineman. But I got a sense that the Chiefs have been understanding that this is a contract year for Juwan Taylor, and if the performance didn't improve, which through five quarters in this scenario it would not, then I don't know why you would necessarily waste more time, especially when you're 0-1, and we didn't necessarily predict that going into the game in Sao Paulo.
Do you think the officials unfairly pick on him?
Yes. And, you know, I think it's a personality thing too. Juwan Taylor cares immensely about his performance, cares immensely about protecting Mahomes. Again, very good player, always been a starter in the league. But he is someone who doesn't necessarily he just takes the penalty, takes the punishment, and moves on. And that is by nature like a very offensive lineman thing to do. Like, don't make it about me. All right, gotta figure it out. Okay, my bad. It's on me. Move to the next play. I got it. But did you see him push back when Travis Kelce got on him? YouTube didn't show that. He's never, like, I think there's one time I've seen Juwan Taylor get upset, and that was because they were going to split refs with Jalen Moore. That was the one time I actually saw him get upset with Andy Heck, who Andy Heck on the first day of training camp told him, hey, you're coming off. Hey, you had a procedure in the offseason. He's the new guy. Let him get some reps with the ones. And Juwan's like, I'm the starting right tackle, which is true. Starting right tackle gets all the reps with the ones, which is true. But, you know, but on the field, he doesn't get in, like, a ref's face. He doesn't really argue. He doesn't really, like, he's not a combative person. He's very skilled, very technically sound when he's on time, he's not making mistakes. But I do think he gets picked on because refs just know, if I see anything, given his reputation that has now been put out there, you know, no one's going to be, like, questioning me as the line judge, as the back judge, as the referee. So I think it's a trickle down effect.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll reset things and we'll get back to Chiefs and Eagles. I want to ask you this question. This is one of the very few games that you have been at in which you could say the other team is better than them. How do you think the Chiefs win this game? I'll tell you how I think they win it next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes. Catch me every Tuesday with CDOT at 3:15 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive is brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got Nate Taylor in studio. This is our final segment of the week. We are off early because of the Royals. This is actually one of the last few shows that we are going to have that is going to be preempted by the Royals. All right, there's a lot of things to get your opinion on. Let's start with this. This is only the second time since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for the Chiefs in which they have been the underdog as the home team. Not very rarely is a team coming to Arrowhead in which you feel, hey, that team might be better than the Chiefs. That hasn't happened very often over the last 5 to 6 years or so. But it's certainly not crazy to think that the Chiefs can win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chiefs have to win a low-scoring rock fight kind of game. They got to win this game 24-14. They got to win this game 21-17. If this game is a 31-27 Eagles kind of game, I just don't think the Chiefs have enough firepower to be able to keep up with them. They got Saquon and A.J. Brown
right.
and Devontae Smith. You got Juju Smith-Schuster and Elijah Mitchell on one side. Like, they just got more dogs than you got. I just don't think that this can be a high-scoring game. I think this is a game in which your defense has to win. You have spent a lot of money and resources on that defensive line.
This is true.
That defensive line has to win consistently up front. They have to get pressure with their front four. You gave all that money to George Karlaftis a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Chris Jones is one of the highest paid defensive linemen in the league.
Nick Bolton.
You brought back Derek Nnadi. Like, your defensive line should be one of the stronger units on the team, and it wasn't in week one.
It really wasn't, and it wasn't like the Chargers didn't have an injury at one of the more important positions at left tackle. So it would be nice if they played Ashton Gelati a little bit more because he actually showed something in Sao Paulo. But, yeah, they need Mike Dana and George Karlaftis to be legitimate guys so that Chris Jones doesn't feel like there's so much pressure on me to make a play, even if it's late in the game. Charles Omenihu, I thought, was okay, but he can play better. I think the crowd in Arrowhead can be a factor because the last time we saw the Eagles here, and I do think this is interesting, Jalen Hurts did not do well against the blitz. And that is one way to sort of like speed him up so that he doesn't have all day to find A.J. Brown. So I wonder if Steve Spagnuolo, again, with the crowd noise, can you blitz to get a risk-reward sort of play where, hey, you get a couple turnovers? One of the things that I think has been the most discouraging part of the Chiefs defense, even though they've been to three straight Super Bowls, is they just don't create enough turnovers. So one way to win this game, Carrington, is to actually take the ball away, give Mahomes a shorter field, and, you know, maybe create a little bit of a distance on the scoreboard to where the Eagles are chasing you late in the game versus what it seems like has always been the case since last year where it's like, okay, the game is tight. It's the fourth quarter. Please do something amazing, Patrick. And mostly he does. But the reason why they're underdogs is because, as we talked about, like, the Eagles have an amazing roster. You know, like, Jalen Hurts could beat the Chiefs on Sunday with Jahan Dotson, and he would be maybe the Chiefs' second best receiver. He's the Eagles' third. He's the Eagles' third best receiver. So get turnovers and, yeah, get pressure on the quarterback.
A big thing for me in this, in which I have been kind of championing this all week, Isaiah Pacheco has two carries. He has two carries. Or eight, excuse me. He has eight carries in their last two games. That's what I meant to say. He's eight carries
three,
in their last
three in the
two
Super
games.
Bowl, five on Friday. Yeah.
That's not a winning plan.
Correct.
Rob and I were debating this right before you got here. Every team that you think can win the Super Bowl, running the football is a part of their offense.
Of
Maybe they're not a run-first team. But if you were telling Pat in this matchup, hey, we're only going to run the ball nine times, and we're going to tell you with Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, and all of these guys to go beat the Philadelphia Eagles, it just seemed like it's going to be a really frustrating day for 15. My point is not that the Chiefs have to run for 130 yards. You need Isaiah Pacheco to get 14 carries for 71 yards. You have to have the Eagles respect that you are going to run the football.
Yes.
Isaiah Pacheco was one of your best players. I actually think he's their best offensive player right now if we're talking about ceiling of what I think he can accomplish. I think he has to be at the center of what they want to do.
Especially if you want a low-scoring game like you talked about. Like, hey, shortening the game comes down to handing the ball off and being successful on first and second down or converting, obviously, on third and short. So, yeah. I think it's so weird. Like, they definitely had the wrong game plan in the Super Bowl. Talked about that. Friday was fascinating because I think the entire team went through the, like, oh, my God, no, not again. Like, what? Like, Xavier's, he's walking to the locker room? Like, it's not even like, the Chargers just got the ball for the first time. I think there was so much of a doom and gloom in the first quarter that, like, it completely got them out of their game plan. Andy's, you know, patented signature 15 play script, you can blow that up. So let's see what it's like on Sunday in your home environment when you're 0-1. Everybody should be focused, everybody should be energized. Carrington, I just had to look this up. Patrick Mahomes targeted Tyquan Thornton 4 times in Friday's game. That cannot be the ratio with him and Isaiah Pacheco. Like, Tyquan Thornton, good player, fits the offense really well. I know he had the nice 38-yard completion, but you got to give Pacheco more opportunities than Tyquan Thornton, especially if you're trying to control the tempo. And that was so frustrating about the second half for the Chiefs, is the offense actually got going once they made adjustments, once they sort of calmed down, once Kelce got back into a flow and a rhythm with Mahomes. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't have time because we can't get the ball back and we're chasing points with the 2-point conversions and obviously being behind 10-0.
I also think it's important to note that their running game just came from their quarterback then at that point. Like,
yes.
They started to run the ball in the second half. They just didn't run the ball with Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. Their quarterback just decided, okay, I'll do it then.
Yes,
if you aren't going to call the run play, I'll do the run play.
Hey, hike. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, ain't nobody open. All right, get out of here. Like, and it wasn't even like he was pressured a lot of times. He was just like, oh, they're in man coverage. Great. I can just, like, get out of the B gap or go around the pocket. Yes, that's a great point. Like, if you want to use RPOs, that's fine. You do have to hand the ball off a couple times, Patrick. So, like, you know, there's a little bit of responsibility on him too. Like, yes, you could always throw that slant. Your arm is incredible. Hollywood Brown, probably going to be open. But if, again, to create the balance that you and I both want, and I'm sure that the listener wants, even if it's an RPO, hand it off to Pacheco. Get him in a rhythm. Get him in a flow just as much as, hey, we could always take that 6-yard completion just based on the Eagles probably being in zone coverage because they didn't blitz last year. So if they're not going to blitz you, run the ball. Be effective. That would be all these things make too much sense that they should do it. And hey, if it's a game in the 20s, then you're, by Pacheco being effective, you're actually limiting how effective Saquon Barkley can be.
I don't know if you heard the segment earlier. Do you know what FanDuel has as Isaiah Pacheco's over under on rush yards in the game?
No, I'm terrified.
Just take a guess.
22 yards.
33.5. That's what they have. Actually, what you said, that's what Kareem Hunt's over-under is. Kareem Hunt's over-under is 22.5 rushing yards. They have Isaiah Pacheco's over-under on rush yards at 33.5. They have his carries at 7.5.
You know what?
7.5 from RB1
that's
on
crazy.
A playoff team.
That's
championship
crazy.
Contending team.
Yes.
RB1's over-under is 7.5 rush attempts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my head is bowed in disappointment. This is... I don't want to be hyperbole, but this is honestly a grown-ass man's game. Line up and move them. Because you know what they did to you in February? They moved all y'all. Offense and defensive line.
I was going to say that. On both sides of the ball.
Yes.
That's like, why, like, during the, you know, after the aftermath, a lot of people were just left tackle. Yes, that was a part of it. Like, they beat you up everywhere. They beat you up on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage. They beat you up on the defensive side. Their corners beat up your wide receivers. Like, this wasn't just a Joe Tooney problem.
Yeah.
This was they were the more physical team and pushed you around for 60-minute problem.
And again, I know you guys played the clip because I listened to it the other day on on Rob Gronkowski's comments, which have some legitimacy to it, because that's what the Eagles figured out. Oh, we just have to hit them over and over and over again. We don't need to do anything exotic. You know, I think one of the more damning comments I kept hearing in the locker room after that Super Bowl is, yeah, I talked to Brian Cook. Anything? Like anything. Nah, man, it was the same stuff they've been doing all season. Okay, let me go to Mike Caliendo. Mike Caliendo, was this some stunts? Was it like they lined up with no, man. They just lined up and whooped us. All right, let me go to Joe Tooney. Joe, like, hey, you're the left tackle. Nope. He's just better than you. Cool. Like, it's just, it was wild for everybody on the team to be like, no, they just ran their patented plays. That's how good they are. Like, they kind of distilled it down to high school football. We'll just beat you up on the line of scrimmage. Our skill position players will make plenty of plays, and our quarterback, he might make one or two mistakes, but he can also beat you downfield. They got to be able to run the ball early, demonstrate some toughness, some tenacity, and move the pile forward. Make a statement, right? I think if they get the ball first, or whatever their first possession is, that being the Chiefs' offense, touchdown, man. You gotta put it in the Eagles' minds that, like, we are here. This is not what it's going to be like in New Orleans. Obviously, we have a different offensive line now to some degree, but, like, Isaiah Pacheco's getting the ball six times on this possession, and we're just going to march you down the field. And let's see how you respond, right? Because one thing about the Eagles is they got the benefit of a Rams. I want to remind people this. They beat the Rams, but the Rams almost caught up to them in the divisional round. They played an inexperienced Commanders team that they absolutely whooped from jump. Didn't have an issue with the Chiefs. The Cowboys were somewhat fortunate because of the Jalen Carter situation, but it's been a while since someone has actually punched the Eagles in the mouth. So you can say similar things about the champ, whoever the champ is. So doing it on the road for the Eagles will be fascinating because, yeah, I can't disagree that they have the better roster, but the Chiefs should be the more motivated team.
That's why I'm really intrigued in this game, just because I want to see if the Chiefs still got fight left.
Yep.
For the last 3 years, the Chiefs have just been on top of the world. You have been the best team in the NFL. Your best player is dating the soup. Like, everything has gone the Chiefs' way.
Yes.
Up until they played the Eagles. And now, you and I both know how this league is. You spend a lot of time around football players. Like, I think what Gronk said is a common theme in the National Football
League.
I think that other teams feel that way about the Chiefs.
Yes.
The only way to prove them wrong in this scenario is fight back, push back. The team that dominated you in the Super Bowl is coming into your house and has a chance to send you to 0-2.
Yes.
Now, I don't think the 0-2 panic is going to be anything that Kansas City is going to be overly worried about because they got the confidence in the roster to do it. But,
right.
I mean, there is a clear number of, hey, only 16% of teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs. Like, it is not good for you if you start 0-2. I want to see the Chiefs fight. I want to see if they still got that dog in them.
Carrington, he had, and I wrote this, and I think this will be on ESPN.com tomorrow, but Carrington, this man woke up in the second half, and to your point, said, I'll do it myself, because Patrick clearly had the fight. Okay, I got the first out. I'm going to make a point. I'm going to run this dude over. Hey, we're in the red zone. You know what? Hey, not going to hand the ball off on the RPO. You know what? Not even going to throw it to Hollywood. I'll just run around Khalil Mack myself, their best defender. I'll just run right around him. I mean, in terms of leadership, they still have it. I think Chris Jones has been itching for this game. Not only because of what happened in the Super Bowl, but because of his own mistake in Sao Paulo in the fourth quarter. Travis Kelce, let's see it for a full game now. I thought he did pretty well in the second half, all things considered, based on what you're asking him at this, you know, year 13 stage of his career. But hey, can you be locked in from the jump, from snap one? Can you not make a mistake that could be detrimental to the offense? These are your leaders. You can go down Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Trent McDuffie. We could name all the guys, but I don't want to hear it. You know, it was sort of condemning that Andy Reid was like, well, it's my job. I didn't get the guys right. We didn't have enough energy. Coach, it's the first game of the season. You don't got to say bleep. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that was kind of my mindset in Sao Paulo. I was like, but coach, this is not week seven. That's when you need a coach. It's the first game of the season.
Against a team that everybody thinks can challenge you for the division. That I was just thinking of this analogy, and I think you've seen The Wire before. It kind of reminds me. It reminds me of, like, Stringer thought that you could do the game a certain way. And Avon was just like, no, that's not how this works. That's not how it works. Like, football at some point, like, you come to this, like, intersection, like you just mentioned with Patrick Mahomes. At some point, you just got to prove that you are more physical than the other team.
Yes.
Like, I thought it was pretty clear. Pat could have easily had run out of bounds.
Oh, easily.
He made it a point to try to, I'm going to blow this guy up on the Chargers. Maybe I get a penalty. Who knows what happens? But I got to set the tone for everybody else. Philadelphia, they want to come in and be the bullies with Jalen Carter in the defense. And if there is any team in the league that feels like they can push Kansas City around, it's that team.
It's that team.
It ain't Denver. It ain't Vegas. It's not Buffalo. It's not the Ravens. If there is a team that feels like we can dominate this team and be more physical than them, it's Philadelphia. You got to prove it. All of the conversation around Kansas City ends if they win this game. But if they lose this game, a lot of the conversation about, hey, are the Bills, is it over for the Chiefs? That rumbling is already starting. It will be very, very loud if they lose this game.
Right. And especially if they lose this game where it's, you know, it might be close on the scoreboard, but the Eagles are always in control. I think that would be really tough to overcome. It's like, hey, if the Eagles come and catch you after you had a great, let's say the Chiefs have a great first quarter because their hair's on fire, they're fully invested, coaching staff's got it going with the game plan. Obviously, Pat Mahomes, Chris Jones, everybody's executing, right? But hey, like we just said, the Eagles got a really good roster. And who knows? Maybe they make some halftime adjustments. If they chase you down, like we saw the Chiefs do so many times over the past few years, hey, I get it, right? They're the champs. You can kind of live with that. But if it's from like, hey, here's our best punch, and okay, after the end of the first quarter, it's 10-3 Eagles. You're like, okay, we got any trick plays? We got any weird formations? Got anything? Like, if it's from start to finish, I think that will be that would be hard to overcome. Not just the doubt and the speculation and the condemnation from everybody from a national perspective, but how do you move forward in that locker room when, you know, you've been working to say that you want an opportunity to get back to that game? If you get back to that game, guess who you might see in Santa Clara?
Philadelphia.
Right. You either go see Philadelphia or Green Bay based on what we done see.
For sure.
So this is a measuring stick. They understand it. Chris Jones said he wants payback. I'm like, man, when's the last time he said that in front of cameras with so much conviction? So they're doing everything they can to be up for this game. But, yeah, you got to prove it. You got to prove it for four quarters. So I love the idea that this is a good lesson for them being the Chiefs based on what happened in Sao Paulo, because they easily could have beat the Chargers. We all know this. Like, they're still the better team. Hey, you know what the Chargers did? Didn't make any mistakes. You know what the Chargers did? Celebrated like they won the Super Bowl in Brazil. If the Eagles beat you, they will not be celebrating. They'll just be like, yeah, this is what we do because we already proved this. The Chiefs need to get back to, showing some of that flair, some of that style. I would be asking for, like, some cool stuff while you also try to dominate the other opponent.
We'll get you out of here with this. We're up against it. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Eagles win-if scenario as we head into week two.
Chiefs win if they get two turnovers. And you know what? That's asking a lot. Eagles win if... Welcome to the NFL, Josh Simmons. Welcome. Like, that was cool. But now I have, an actual game of tape to see you. And, you know, I'm really good. Or if, the biggest mismatch on paper, Carrington, is Jalen Carter versus Kingsley Suamataia. So everyone say a prayer to this man. And it's not really Kingsley's fault. It's because Jalen Carter's that good. So,
do you think he should have been suspended for this game?
Do we really care about players spitting on one another? Or are we just making appearances as if we care?
I mean, I care about it. I care about it too. Yeah, I just feel like he had the penalty. If you're telling me he didn't play a single snap in the first game and they also took a game check away, I don't know what more penalty I thought the NFL was going to give Jalen Carter. Now, I do think they set a very interesting precedent.
That's the problem.
Let's say that this happens in the third quarter of an NFL game. How do you handle this? Right. Are you going to do like football and you suspend them for a half of the next game?
No, that's ridiculous.
That's where I think people have a serious question with how they handled it this time.
So if you're going to suspend him, is kind of where I lie. It's not about facing the Chiefs. If they would have played the Patriots in week two, I don't care. Like, if you think spitting on an opponent in that kind of way, whether it's retaliatory or not, that is. And, thankfully, there were no fisticuffs, but he probably should have got suspended. Would be my guess if we care.
He said, "Thankfully, it wasn't no fisticuffs." I actually, you know what? I knew the Cowboys had lost when they wasn't willing to fight for their quarterback. I'm telling you right now.
Trey Smith's murdering somebody in the football manner, ladies and gentlemen.
If an Eagles player walks up and spits on Patrick Mahomes, Creed Humphrey doesn't swing on that player, they aren't the team that I think they are.
Right now, you can say should Tart have been ejected from the game? Of course. Like, that was a windup, but it was open-handed versus closed fist. Who cares?
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense. You should 100% be suspended. That's what I was thinking when I heard the news. I'm like, so wait, you're telling me Jalen Carter just should have walked up and smacked Dak Prescott and he could have kept playing? Yeah, he could have kept playing. It doesn't make any sense. That is Nate Taylor of ESPN joining us on the show. We're off a little bit early today because of the Royals. We only got one more week in which they are going to preempt the show. Rob, I appreciate you. We'll catch you guys on Monday. Until then, we'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.